Good day and welcome to everyone to another session in our study of the Word of God here on this Wednesday morning. I'm looking forward to today, and I first just want to say how thankful I am that we're able to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. What a joyful day that truly is for all who believe and fully appreciate all that the Lord has done for us. And I want to thank you for several notes that I've received, a couple on Facebook, some on text, and even some phone calls about last week's session as we talked about resurrection, as we talked about he's coming back, that cloth is folded. And also, in that resurrection, we were birthed out of where that blood and water flowed. And we are prepared to be his bride, a beautiful bride, a righteous bride, as we've seen in some previous sessions. And so I'm so thankful for Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, I hardly ever refer to it as Easter anymore because the resurrection is such a focus of that day. We're going to begin a new session today, or really we're going to just do one thing and then begin a new series next week that's related to this. But I just want us to pray and ask the Lord to open our hearts today to hear what we're going to receive, because I believe this is some things that continues on with this subject of righteousness. It's not about righteousness per se, but it continues with what the Lord instructed me to teach and me to study personally last year in the fall of righteousness. And today we're going to be talking about complacency. So Father, as we come to you today, we open our hearts. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Thank you that you're really speaking to each individual person and encouraging us, each of us, just as you've encouraged me in preparing this, to step away from this complacency and move into the fullness of what you have made us to be, righteous in you, with a fervor for you. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Father, we just declare that we will be changed today. And we will walk in these things that you're going to be instructing us to walk in today and in the coming weeks. That's our heart to do so, to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I shared with you as we closed out 2023 in the fall that the Lord dropped two things into my heart that he wanted me to make an improvement in 2024, and really for it to be a focus for me throughout the whole year. And oftentimes when he does that, then I share it because I think we all can grow in it. The first thing that we talked about was righteousness, where he told us to pursue righteousness. And boy, did we ever. In most every venue I've been able to teach, we've taught righteousness here. We've taught it in healing school. We'll be teaching it on some Sunday nights in the coming weeks and months. And it's just something that has just radically opened my eyes to who we can be in him. But then he gave me a second thing to teach, and I got a glimpse of it, and I knew there were some things that I needed to change. But I'm going to tell you, when he said to me, resist complacency, I didn't fully appreciate all that that entailed. And so that's what we want to begin talking about today. And I'm doing so talking about complacency, as you can see in the title. I mean, you're going to get a clue for where we're going with this. It can be an evil force in our life. So today we're going to just jump into it and talk about it a little bit. My perception was that complacency was a mental disposition or a mental state of mind that we often get into, where we just don't take some things seriously as we ought to. And a lot of times I saw it as we get satisfied within ourselves. And let me say it a different way. We get satisfied with where we are in certain situations, the state or the condition that we find ourselves in. And complacency in the spirit is something that is not a good place to be, as I think you're going to see today. And you might say in doing this, sometimes we get to a point where we just settle. We just accept things as they come. Whatever comes at us, we just, okay, kind of roll with the punches and accept it. And sometimes it gets to a point where we even say everything seems to be, well, it's good enough, I guess is a way I would describe that. So that's what I want to begin to talk about today. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 25 with me. Years ago, I found the scripture that one of the scriptures that we're about to read here in 2 Chronicles 25, and it moved me so much because I saw some things that I had done in my life that kind of fit what I was seeing here. And I actually wrote an email and shared it with my three sons and with Patricia's son, Thomas, just encouraging us concerning this topic that we're going to be on today. But I called it a different thing, as you're going to see. So let me give you some background about this scripture. Amaziah has been named king, and he's got to go to war, and he knows he's up against a formidable foe. So he goes and hires some other soldiers, mercenaries, maybe you might call them. And I think it was for 100 talents of silver, some amount such as that. Now, I didn't take time to even translate it into dollars for us today. But then a prophet comes to him, and he warns him that this is not the will of God. It's not the desire that the Lord has as they go into this battle. So look down at verse 9 with me of 2 Chronicles 25. Verse 9 says, "Then Amaziah responded," or said, "to the man of God, 'But what shall we do about the 100 talents that I have given to the troops of Israel?'" In other words, he had hired some other tribes to come in with him. And he goes on and says, "And the man of God answers," and this was the phrase that hit me so hard years ago, "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." Verse 10, "So Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim, then to go back home. Therefore, their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home, but in great anger." And then in verse 11, it starts off, and we're going to stop in the middle of it. "Then Amaziah strengthened himself, and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt," which is where the battle took place. And I'll just stop there and said he won great battle, and it was a magnificent time. But look at what he almost did. He, first of all, did not, he almost went with a plan that wasn't the Lord's. And then when the prophet warned him, it was like he wasn't willing to lose or to see go away what he had already paid. And this is what the Lord came to him and was saying, what the prophet was saying to him. He said, "Don't settle for something that isn't the will of the Lord because you're concerned," and it was about several things. The first thing he didn't do is he didn't need the extra armies. He settled for his own idea on how to fight the battle instead of seeking the Lord. And then the second thing he did, he got concerned about the 100 talents of silver that he had paid. And he was concerned about losing those. And this is what we can do if we're not careful. And I mean, money is just one example, but not pursuing him to find his will is another great example where we settle for less sometimes than what the Lord wanted us to. And this is what I wrote my sons about. Don't settle. Because I saw how I had done that in my life when they were young men, and I did not set the example for them that I needed to do. And this phrase just kept coming to me back in those days. The Lord is able to give you much more. So it's not that he's fussing at us about losing something. He's instructing us to get back and do his will because there's much more to be gained by being led by him and by being put in the place where he wants us to. Now, I've got to be honest with you. As I've looked at that since I heard this word of the Lord back in, I guess it was in November of last year, I was close to understanding what complacency was. But I missed it in some areas that are really important, and it will, I think, help us set a totally different perspective about it. So today, I want to share with you two verses that I really overlooked, and that's verse 1 and verse 2 of this same chapter, which is 2 Chronicles 25. In verse 1, it says, "Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem." Then it tells us who his mother is. And verse 2, "He did right in the Lord's sight, but not with a perfect or blameless heart." One translation says he did it without having a loyal heart. So this gives us some clues here. And so with understanding this, because the Lord had talked about other kings who had the right heart, but who did the wrong things just out of ignorance sometimes, where they didn't seek him, but their heart was really toward him. But Amaziah was a little different. He did the right things, but he didn't do it with that right heart. And so what this began to show me, and I see it in both Old Testament and New Testament, and we'll get into both of those today, is that complacency is not just a state of mind we get into. It's a heart issue for you and I. And it's really talking about having this view of self-sufficiency, which we'll build on, versus trusting and pursuing the Lord our God. Now, let's begin looking at some verses about being complacent. And I want to do, first we'll go to Proverbs 1, verse 32. This verse starts out and it says, For the turning away. Now, what it's talking about is turning away from his ways and turning away from his counsel, the Lord's counsel. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. Well, that doesn't sound very positive, does it? Think about it, though. If we follow the world's ways, that leads to death. But this second line is where we get serious here. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. Now, I want to talk about some of these words that are in here, particularly this word complacency. But before I do, I just want you to see one thing here. There are two key words in this. The first one is complacency, but the second one is destroys. And what this verse is telling us is that complacency destroys. It is not a positive thing. And you're going to see that over and over today. Let me read you the Amplified version for this verse. For the backsliding, and isn't that what turning away from the Lord is? Not doing his ways, not acting on his word. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay them. And then it says, and the careless ease of self-confident fools shall destroy them. So we get a new term here introduced, careless ease of self-confidence. How easy it is to get back into that, where we think we've done well, we've reached a point, and I'm good where I am. The English Standard Version, one of the newer ones today, says the word complacent. God's Word says indifference. Now, when I think about that word indifference, I think of today and the phrase is popular amongst a generation, I guess, that's a little younger than I am, where a lot of times it's just said, well, whatever. And we're beginning to get a sense of this word complacency. But what we're going to be looking at is what's behind that. The Webster translation, and this is the same guy who wrote the 1812 Webster Dictionary. He calls it the careless ease. He uses that same phrase as the Amplified did. So what we see here is a little different perspective from maybe how you and I have looked at this word complacent or complacency. A definition of complacency, and this is from the Cambridge Academic Content Dictionary. It says, a feeling of calm satisfaction with your own capabilities or your own situation that prevents you from trying harder. Now, I can look back in my life from athletic endeavors even and see how complacency really hindered me in some things. But I want you to begin to see that when it gets in our heart, then that's where the evil work really begins. Webster Dictionary says this, a self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. Now, that sounds to me a little bit like pride entering in. Yeah, I'm okay. I've got everything going pretty well. But what is the dominant thought there? Its own I. And so it sounds like pride entering in a bit more, thinking more of ourself than looking to our Lord. Now let's look at a few more scriptures that get into this some more. In Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, we're going to look at verses 9, 10, and 11. Verse 9 says, "Rise up, you women who are at ease." Now, that ought to make us take note. Because later in this verse, later down, after these three I'm going to read, he's talking about some things that are coming on them that you and I would not want to come on us. So, "You women who are at ease, hear my voice. You complacent daughters, give ear to my speech." So we see those two things in parallel here. He's just really emphasizing. He goes on in 10 and says, "In a year and some days, you're going to be troubled, you complacent women." Now, when you see things back to back to back like this, we need to pay attention. It's painting a picture that we know is either going to be very positive or very negative, because he's drawing strong attention to it. He says, "For the vintage will fail, and the gathering of grapes will not come." And then verse 11, "Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent ones." And then these next words, "Strip yourselves, make yourselves bare, and gird sackcloth on your waist." That's talking about time for repentance. So some very strong warnings here. And what's the key things? We find ourselves at ease, and we don't have the diligence to pursue some things. We get complacent. And when we do that, the Lord is warning them, if you don't change, troubles are going to come and overtake you. Now, don't get into Old Testament theology where the Lord had to deal with them on physical things all the time. Storms are going to come, whether you fail or where you don't fail. But I think it's how quickly we can recover from it that really is a key separation here. So, they're comfortable where they are. They're about to a point where they're going to settle for what's less than God's best for them. And in this case, it was something that they definitely didn't want. Another example of that is in Zephaniah, the first chapter, the 12th verse. And most of the scriptures I'm reading today are New King James. It says, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps." Now, Zephaniah talks a lot about our times, so we can see this as being pertinent to us too. And it says, "I'm going to punish the men who are settled in complacency." So here we get both of those words together. "Who say in their heart," now this is what the men say, "the Lord will not do good, nor he will do evil." Now, again, this sounds to me a little bit like this, whatever. That just accepting what will be. No, that's not what the Word teaches us, as you're about to see. Another example, and this one I had to really meditate on it after the Lord drew my attention to it, Deuteronomy 4. And I'm going to read 24 and 25, and then we're going to go down and see verses 39 and 40. Now look at 24. "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." He wants us to take note of who he is, because he's saying here, "I want your attention. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land," in other words, when things get a little easier for you, and what could happen then, complacency could set in. "When you get that way, and then you begin to act corruptly and make a carved image, both things evil. And you're making this image in the form of anything, and you're doing evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger." So this is just saying, when you get comfortable where you are and you quit looking to me, then don't be surprised if things begin to pile up on you. Not because the Lord's doing it, but because we're not aware of what's going on and we're not standing against these things. Look at how 39 and 40 end. "Therefore, know this day," and here's the phrase that I really want us to see here, "and consider it in our heart." He doesn't say, "just think about it." He says, "take this to your innermost being, that the Lord himself is God in heaven, and on earth, on the earth beneath, there is no other." Now, can you see the parallel between 24 and 25 and verse 39? Because it's fixing to set up the results here in 40. It says, "You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all times. Now, what does that sound like? No complacency, my eyes on Him, blessing after blessing after blessing. Not getting to a point where we're comfortable, settled, and that's exactly what the children of Israel did. The Lord was basically telling them, this is what's going to happen to you when you act this way. They were accepting the status quo, and thus they quit paying attention to His Word. For you and I today, I would say it this way. We quit paying attention to the Word, and we quit fellowshipping with Him, which means no growth. That's the key point that we're going about to see. Now, let me just pause here. Because as I put this together, the Lord really laid this out for me. I just like saw it as I was typing. If we ever get to where we're saying, I'm good with God now, I'm where I need to be, then danger in red lights ought to be flashing around us. Danger, danger. Because what are we about to do? If we're not careful, we're about to get complacent and begin to, we think, stay where we are, holding our ground. But I'm here to tell you, that's not what happens. When you think you're being steady in a place, in fact, you're going to see that we are losing ground, or I might say we're regressing back to where we, beyond where we attain to. Now, why do I say this? Well, remember Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 7th verse. And I'll read you the whole verse and we'll come back and talk about the first. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdoms, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward forever. Now, isn't this really talking about Jesus? Yes. And then it says, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. So, of the increase of His government and of peace. And what is peace flows from us knowing we are what? Righteous, as we found in previous studies. So, the point I want to make is if we are not increasing, we're regressing. We're positioning ourselves to lose the ground that we had dutifully and gained, and we were gracious to the Lord for His giving it to us, but we're becoming satisfied with this whatever. And again, I think it's a heart reason. We reason that we're just okay up here in our head. And that's where the devil attacks us too. We've got to take note of that. But something can be amiss in our heart. We stop pursuing His desire for us to increase, but more importantly, His desire for us to get closer and closer to Him and to have His Word reveal Him more and more to us. Now, let's take a sidestep here, because it's like I can hear some people saying, yeah, but aren't we supposed to be content where we are? And the answer to that is yes. But you need to be very careful that we don't begin equating complacency and contentment as anything similar. Very different. Let me show you this. Philippians 3. Now we're going to read verses 7 through 15, but I want to read 7 through 11 first. Now just listen to these words now about moving on, about gaining, pursuing. But what things were gained to me, in other words, what Paul is saying, what things I had before Jesus, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord. In other words, he's saying, I'm not wanting to be complacent with what I had learned when I was taught by Gamaliel and was the Pharisee of all Pharisees. I'm pressing on. And I want to be found, he said, I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And I want to be found not having my own righteousness from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, as I read these, I begin to see the relationship between us understanding our righteousness and complacency. We think we are, okay, I'm righteous. You know, I'm not too bad. Man, we just missed it. We just forfeited a bunch. Verse 10 continues. It says, this is where I want to go as I work from, as I pursue Him from my righteousness that I have been made, that I may know Him, that I may know the power of His resurrection and the fellowships of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So he's saying here, even though I've been born again, I've known Christ, I'm in Him, I've been made righteous, I want to live so that when Jesus comes back, I'm going to be resurrected with Him, and I'm just looking forward to that day, and that's my goal, not where I am today. So can you see from these verses that Paul is in a constant pursuit of our Lord Christ Jesus? It's not just try to hang on. He wants us to progress. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. That kind of says it all, doesn't it? That kind of gives us that picture of sums it up. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Oh, so much more. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. We need to learn that. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So we don't want to revel in where we've just revel in where we've come from. We want to continue to forge on and take the abundance that He has. 14 says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Paul just told us, don't ever settle where you are. Pursue the increase of His kingdom and peace, which comes through that increase in righteousness, which is placing us back in what? In right relationship with Him so we can have fellowship. Verse 15 concludes this way. Now listen to this one with your heart. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. So he's telling us here, don't you dare start thinking you've got it all. You see how complacency can even lead us to think we're mature enough and we don't need to have more maturity. Everything's okay. But we're not standing still. We're really, what have we seen? Digressing. Thus, I want you to see, contentment is about peace where you are, yet all the while pursuing the kingdom of God, pursuing the God, our Lord God, but pursuing the kingdom and its increase. Now, for me personally, I've been able to see much more clearly how this has impacted my walk of righteousness. Where I got some revelation from it, I see how I backed up from that through thinking I knew some things. In Philippians 4, 11 and 12, Paul writing to the Philippians says, now I don't speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. So yes, we are to be content, but there's a difference, and seek the Lord now for this. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In other words, my state isn't going to change my relationship with the Lord. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned to be both full and to be hungry, to both abound and to suffer needs. Now, troubles are going to come to us all. And one day I'm going to do a teaching comparing three storms that come. And you're going to see one storm comes because of disobedience. Another storm comes because from no disobedience. And another storm comes because the devil is knowing that there's something about to happen that's going to take away from him. Now, it's with this attitude that Paul then writes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, he's not saying I can go play all ball well. This is a great scripture to remind us that we can do that, even when we're having troubles. I know some of my kids put it on their helmet and other places, on their bat or glove, when they were playing ball. And it's a good reminder to who strengthens us. But this is saying I can endure when I'm passing through tough situations. Verse 14, he goes on and begins to tell him, nevertheless, you've done well that you shared with me in my distress. In other words, you're going to see, they gave him offerings. that took him out of some of the lack he had and moved him into abundance. Now, you Philippians also know, and we got to note, Philippians were not the most wealthy people. They were really poor. Now, you Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving but you. For even in Thessalonica, you once sent aid, once and again, for my necessities. And listen to this verse. Not that I seek the gift. Now, let's just stop there. Well, let me finish and we'll come back. But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So he's telling him, I don't appreciate the gifts just because you gave them to me. I'm very thankful for it. It was the way the Lord used to lift me out of those situations. In other words, he's saying, I'm not asking you to give just for my benefit, because I want you to be blessed in it also. And so in this now, we begin to get a glimpse of contentment versus complacency. Because where's our focus? In contentment, it's on the Lord and moving forward. In complacency, I'm satisfied. I'm settling for what I have, but my attention is not on the Lord. Now, Paul doesn't stop there. Verse 18 says, indeed, I have all and abound. So he's saying, I've moved out of that place of lack. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And that can be much more than money. But in this case, he's talking about some financial things. And look what he says in 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not what the world can give you, but it's according to or in proportion to his riches in glory. You know, if you ask me for some money, I might could give you $100 or even $1,000. But I'm limited in my capability. But with the Lord, he can give you an amount much, much more than that. And I'm just going to tell you, it starts with wisdom. It's not just all about the money. Now, I don't want to stop at 19. I want to go to verse 20. Because I want you to see, when we pursue him, and we move out of lack and need into abundance, because he supplies all our needs. He strengthens us to be content where we are and not to try to just be self-focused, but to continue to look for at others. Verse 20 says, when that happens, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. God is glorified when we operate in contentment with our faith as we pursue his best. And that's exactly what 1 Timothy 6:6 tells us, where it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Now let's go to a psalm to close today that kind of touches on all this. And it's Psalm 23, and we're going to read all 6 verses today. It's a psalm of David, as you know. And it starts out in saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And he says, I shall not want or I shall not lack. Now, let me just tell you this. I want you to read this thinking about what the sheep may have been through as they get to this position where their shepherd, or they trust their shepherd, and he's leading them. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You think there were some times when there were only thorns and running water around that they couldn't be comfortable in? I think that, because look at what verse 3 says. He restores my soul. So evidently my soul was not in good shape. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, so he can be glorified. And this is what the Lord really wanted, one of the things he really wanted me to stress here today. Yea, though I walk through. That is the difference between complacency on the one hand and contentment on the other. Both can imply, I don't have all I really would desire. I don't even have all I really need. But one of them says, I'm continuing to be led by the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You even prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Now for sheep, that pertained a lot to anointing with oil to keep them from obtaining diseases that flies and other things, insects would leave in them. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In other words, he sees himself as gaining and obtaining that which is the increase that contentment walks in versus settling for less in complacency. And then finally, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now that word follow me literally means to chase you down. So he's saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But I want you to go back to where verse 2 is. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He leads me. So when this chasing us down is occurring, it's because we're allowing him to lead us out of this lack we had, out of this situation where I'm settling for less than his perfect will. In other words, for you and I today, he's positioning us, he's continuing to position us, even though we go through some things. And what do you remember the verse we read last week that says the righteous are going to have a lot come against them? But what did the second part say? But the Lord delivered them out of them all. Why? Because they were led. They listened to him. They pursued him. They went through, just like this psalm is talking about. No complacency. Following his lead even during bad times. And yet, he can be content just as David was because he knows that goodness and mercy are chasing him down as the Lord leads him through. Today is not the time to settle. And that's the message for you and I today. We have too much that is going to be coming at us, and we have too much that he's calling us to do as we overcome those situations that we find ourselves in. We don't want to find ourselves in complacency. One comment I want to make. When we find ourselves in a place of complacency, that's when you're going to find generosity is not part of the nature that you want to have. It's not there because you're looking at yourself. I don't need that much more. Well, if we had much more, what could we do with it in the kingdom? And that's the whole focus for you and I today. Now, next week, I'm going to start a new series, and I haven't taught it in a number of years, 5 or 6 years. And I believe that it is the answer to this heart situation that we don't want to have that involves complacency and being complacent. And it's diligence. I believe diligence is the heart answer to that. So that's what we're going to get into. Remember, we're not just talking about how I think. We're talking about seeing ourselves as who we are and our relationship and our pursuit of the Lord, including a pursuit of his righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for sharing this with us today. Thank you for encouraging us. And Lord, I just ask you to lay in my heart exactly what you want me to share concerning diligence so that our heart, you can call it a diligent heart. You can call us a diligent people. Love you guys and look forward to being with you again in the coming weeks.